Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast number 56, and I'm Adam. With me is Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Arr, how are you, me hearties?
Shiver my timbers, Jim Lad. Which was far more entertaining than the episode in question, but we won't go into the full details of that just as we talk.
Yes.
Obviously, there was going to be a problem when you go from an epic, like the two episodes we had two previous weeks, to a run-of-the-mill Doctor Who story.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, it wasn't really that bad. It was just run-of-the-mill, wasn't it? It was just a sort of... What it reminded me of, actually, I mean, it was a little bit of horror fang rock, mainly because they were in a fairly enclosed environment, this ship. And all the characters were there and they started getting killed off. Well, obviously, they weren't getting killed off, but it was quite a similar sort of thing. They had an alien that they didn't quite understand, which in Horror Fang Rock was an evil Rooton, but in this thing turned out to be not so evil. And also reminded me of something else which will spring to my main another time, or later on, but mainly it was Horror Fang Rock.
That's right.
Does that come to mind with you?
That and Star Trek Voyager and Coma and a little bit of Girl in the Fireplace.
Yes.
I'm still a little bit mixed on it. I was, when you just called me, I was right in the middle of watching it again.
Right.
And trying to disconnect the part of my brain trying to make sense of some things and just trying to enjoy it as a straight out adventure. And
yep.
As an adventure, it was okay.
Yep.
But there are still holes you could drive the Black Pearl through.
Yeah, I have to admit, Kirby, I have actually only watched it once, because when it went out on the telly, I was out in a family gathering, and we got home from the family gathering and above, so it was probably around 10 o'clock at night, I think, when she started watching it. And my wife stayed up. Obviously, Alicia stayed up to watch it. And obviously, we did a commentary thing for the previous episode. There wouldn't have been much commentary if I'd bothered recording it this time round. Although, obviously, totally entertained. We didn't sort of lose interest in the story. Because you have to say that Matt Smith is quite mesmerising on screen, and so is Karen Gillan. In fact, the main characters are all quite, you know, watchable. And I thought Arthur Darvill would put in another brilliant performance in this episode.
Although he got killed again.
Again. It's like that Torchwood story. They keep killing Susie. They keep killing Rory, don't they? But, like I say, I don't want to be too slating of it, because it was actually quite a good little yarn, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's just, obviously, it was never going to live up to its predecessor, which is a bit like Twin Dilemma trying to live up to Caves of Androzani.
Right, right.
So, obviously, I'm trying to go over the main storyline. It was quite a good introduction, the way that this character gets his black spot and disappears, and then the Doctor, Amy and Rory come out of the hold. That was quite a good little scene. But what got me, how Amy was suddenly very good at swinging the sword around. Now, is that just for a bit of fun, or has she got some sort of inhuman or non-human skills?
It was just a bit of fun.
Pirating was
fun.
Well, can you hear the rain? I bet that's coming out
yes,
on my
I
side
can.
Of the recording. That
yes,
proves I'm sat in
it.
The car in Shanklin, and torrential rain is now hitting the roof. Things I have to put up with in podcasting. I really, at least I'm dry. But yeah. It was fun, I agree. I just thought people are going to say, God, how come she's so good at fighting, you know? But there she was. It was quite, obviously, was the scene was put there for a bit of comedy. And there was a few comic moments, like when Rory sort of was being drawn into the, what was that, the alien creature called again?
Siren,
that's it. It was getting drawn into it, and that was quite a good bit of acting and quite a good little scene. I quite enjoyed that. Obviously, Hugh, what's his face, who played the captain, was brilliant.
Yes.
And I noticed that his sort of sidekick, who's been in, he was in Press Gang, which was Stephen Moffat's first venture into the television many years ago, and he'd been in EastEnders, played a buddy character in that as well. He's been in Catherine Tate's comedy series, so he's been around a bit, that actor. I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
I didn't have a chance to look up any of the other actors.
Yeah, obviously that's the only one that sprung out at me. I thought that the woman who played the siren was particularly striking, but I suppose she had to be for part in the part.
Yes, she was very striking. Very.
Yeah. And I quite enjoyed the, you know, when she went all red.
Yeah.
It reminded me a bit of a cat, when a cat gets cross. Did you think of that sort of thing?
Yes, yes.
And the only thing she was lacking in the Moffat world was the fierce teeth that he tends to put in these sort of characters, but I suppose he couldn't really do that because she turned out to be a goodie in the end.
Well, also, he didn't write that one, so...
Yes, but he would have... Because he didn't write The Vampires in Venice, did he? But they still had these teeth.
True.
But there's not really much you can say about it, really, because it was basically them on a ship under siege, or apparently under siege. The Doctor thinking that it was water that was transporting this, or allowing this alien to come out, and it turned out to be shiny things, or as they say in The Lord of the Rings, precious things.
Have we ever seen the Doctor change his theories so many times? How many times did he say, forget that?
Normally he just says, I don't know.
Yes.
And that's it. Yeah, he's a bit like us, isn't he? He's been a bit like a Doctor Who fan, changing his theories every 5 minutes in the episode. But, of course, then they end up on a spaceship in a hospital, and Rory dies. That's the second time. So he went into the water and died, didn't he? Because he got quite tanked. And then he died again in the hospital and was brought back to life. I thought he'd gone, actually. I thought, oh my God, they have killed him.
Well, technically, he was just drowning and wasn't quite dead.
Oh,
okay.
Getting
better.
Okay. I'll have to look that one off Wikipedia to see what the technical term for death is. Because, you know, these people said, I was dead for about 10 minutes, but I was brought back to life. I saw the tunnel, I saw the light. All that business. But he's seen it many a time, hasn't he?
Go into the light!
Yeah, which is basically what it was, isn't it? They were being attracted to this light thing with a spot on their hand, and... but yeah, that was quite a good scene in the TARDIS at the end, when, you know, because we were all thinking, oh my God, they have killed him. But obviously, fortunately. And I thought, they can't have. I've seen a shot of him with the Tennant Eccleston TARDIS. He can't be dead. No, of course he wasn't. But yes, so it was a very simple synopsis, wasn't it?
Yeah.
On a ship, a mysterious monster sort of apparently killing crew members when they cut themselves or get ill or whatever, and then turns out they're not quite that. They're on an alien ship after all, a bit like the scenario with the Titanic wasn't a seafaring ship, it was an alien one. And that was that, really. Like I say, common or garden, run-of-the-mill Doctor Who story.
With
very mid-season, which is what we're at the moment. We're now up to the halfway mark.
Yeah.
Well, halfway through next week.
Lots and lots of plot holes. Did you notice that...
Go on, tell me some plot holes.
One of the crew members completely disappears.
Does he?
Yeah, the guy, when Amy and Rory are in the storeroom with Toby, and Toby cuts the one guy, the other pirate leaves to go get the treasure, and he's the one that the siren gets when he's going into the treasure room. Well, the one that Toby cut completely disappears. He's just not mentioned. He's not obviously taken by the siren.
Being a Doctor Who fan, Kirby, I'll be able to pass that one off by saying that he was taken by the siren out of shot.
Okay. And let's see, other plot holes. Well, viruses and bacteria aren't the same thing. And the doctors know better.
Oh dear.
What are some of the others? I'd have to watch it again. Like I said, I was in the middle of watching it again when you
called. Yeah, it's funny because I didn't feel like I needed to watch it again before doing this podcast. It was quite a simple storyline. Although, like I say, it was all right. A bit of Saturday
night. Yeah, it was
Saturday
all right. Night.
But the trouble with it, for me, is that all the viewers, they might have sort of hooked by the first two episodes of the series, might thinking, as if this is what the rest of the series is going to be like, I'm not going to go and watch something else. And we're quite fortunate in this country, at that particular time, the weather wasn't particularly nice, so maybe the viewing figures might be all right.
I think I saw the viewing figures earlier today, and they were up from last week, I think. Don't quote me on that.
But that would rather prove the weather theory,
yes,
wouldn't it?
Yes. My girls did not watch it. I just spoke with the middle one again, and she said that she's been too busy. She's studying. My youngest one...
Must be bad when they use that excuse.
My youngest one's hiding in the basement again, watching anime with one of her friends.
Okay. Well, Elizabeth hasn't watched it either, so... It was too late for her, so I don't know whether she will end up watching it in the short run or not, or whether Alicia or Boy want to watch it again. I haven't seen The Confidential yet. I'm always love The Confidentials.
I did see The Confidential by, quote, other means, unquote, and it's pretty interesting.
Cool. I hope so, because I say it's a 45-minute show. And the other thing I'd like to say about it, obviously I said that the three lead characters were particularly good, but once again Karen Gillan puts in a fantastic performance.
Yes.
She was criticised last year for being so up and down with her. My God, would you believe this? I'm sorry about changing the subject, but just a few seconds ago it was chucking it down, and now the sun's come out. And I've got blue skies above me. it's global warming, you see. What it is,
of course.
It had its sort of pluses. Of course, we had the bit at the end, and we were trying to remind everyone that Amy's got this big secret that she may or may not need to tell the Doctor, and then we see the clip from next week, which is probably more interesting than the whole of this episode altogether. I've got mail.
I'm trying to find the scene of the eye patch lady here. I've got it up on one of my screens here. Trying to see it again.
Do you think they're trying to imply that all of what Amy's doing at the moment is actually a dream? I hope they're not.
That seems to be what they're implying, but I don't like that.
No, I don't like them doing the... If they're going to do the Dallas thing...
Yes.
With Bobby in the shower. Oh, please. That would be the most disastrous thing ever.
And I went back to watch last week's bit with the eye patch lady coming through. I do like the way they did it, because it looks like the CGI on it is very, very nice.
Yeah.
The mill does a great job.
Yeah.
But still, what the heck?
So I don't mind what it is. If it's going to be something good, but if it turns out that Amy's been dreaming this whole series, or even this series and the last series, that will annoy me.
Yes. I just thought of another plot hole.
Okay.
If they can come through mirrors, if the siren can come through mirrors, which, by the way, is a very girl in the fireplace, isn't it?
Yeah. It's true.
Why chuck the treasure out the window? Just put it in a bag.
Well, it's still there, though. It's still reflecting something if it's in a bag, isn't it?
Well, it's still reflecting something.
Technically, it's still reflecting something if you chuck it into the water. But then, of course, the siren will only come out into the water, I suppose. I don't know.
Which she was doing anyway.
Yes. Okay. Well, I think we can establish that this... was a bit of a Fear Her episode, but like I say, I don't mind Fear Her myself either, so it's still better than a lot of the old stuff, and but not as good as a lot of the new stuff.
As I said yesterday when I emailed you, it's, let's hope this isn't a trend with the Moffat series, where the third episode tends to be a disappointment, because last year was Victory of the Daleks.
Yeah, well, I quite like Victory of the Daleks myself. It must be just me. It's got problems, but did you quite like Victory of the Daleks then?
I liked parts of it. It was a little silly with what's his name, the scientist, the android at the end, and his countdown and everything. But
yeah, that was a bit silly.
The beginning was so promising, and
I think there's certain scenes in it for me that I enjoyed, that sort of washed over the bad bits. I enjoyed the Daleks, the Kami, you know, the Kami gear gut Daleks. I thought they were great, trying to disguise themselves as goodies like they did in Power of the Daleks.
I love them.
Yeah, and also, would you like a cup of tea? I know it was a homage to Power of the Daleks, but I still enjoyed it nevertheless, because obviously not. People who are casual viewers of Doctor Who will not have a clue about Power of the Daleks, so they will see that as a brand new thing and would probably have enjoyed it as much as me. And I quite like Matt Smith's interaction with those Daleks and the Teletubby Daleks up in the spaceship. But anyway,
the thing about Victory of the Daleks, I really loved where Matt Smith went after the Daleks with the wrench.
Yeah.
With so much. So reminded me of Remembrance of the Daleks when Ace was beating on the Daleks.
That's right. But anyway, I think we're digressing somewhat from that particular thing. Obviously, there's not much more I can say about this the story, Curse of the Black Spot, because obviously I've got to talk with Ben about it later and with Alicia. But so you're basically on the same sort of lines as I am. You're thinking it's just a run-of-the-mill Doctor Who story, or do you think it's below par?
Run of the mill.
I'm
going to have to see the rest of the series before I decide exactly where it is. Obviously, of the three that we've had so far, it's the worst.
Yeah.
But it's not that bad.
No, it's right. Like I say, it's run of the mill. If I was going to mark it out of five, I'd give it a three. And because somebody said, "Well, how can you mark episodes one and two so highly? You know, four and three quarters of, I think we did it." Because it was so good, you know. I think you can judge when something's good or not to give them a very, very high mark. You don't have to sort of judge it on the rest of this coming series. You can certainly judge it on what's been in the past, and that's why I would give it such high grade. Obviously, if something's better, say you've given something 5 out of 5, and something's better than it, then it's still 5 out of 5, isn't it?
Right.
So that's rather it for that one. So how's it been received over in the United States of America?
I have not gone to seek out how other people have looked at it yet.
Probably through fear of people saying it, slating it.
I did hear Tin Dog, but he's over there, not over here, and he liked it.
Oh, good. Oh, that's all right then. As long as people don't hate it, that's probably the main thing, isn't it?
I don't think anybody hated it.
Good. Because everyone says so, quite a few people hated Victory of the Daleks. So
true.
Let's see. I haven't heard any other Doctor Who podcast in relation to this story yet. So, and there's plenty out there to listen to, and there's plenty out there that I will be listening to. So, right then. So, can anything else be gleaned from the Next Time trailer other than the stuff we've already talked about? Obviously.
Well, one thing I'm curious about is everything that I've read from Neil Gaiman is that supposedly we meet a quote old friend from the War Games, I believe.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
But who?
Mm.
I'm going to have to admit that of the War Games, I've seen the first episode and the last episode, and not the in between episode, even though I own it.
Good point. But is it a male character or a female character? Because obviously that story is dominated by male characters.
So I've vowed that during the next week I'm going to go out and watch all of the War Games.
You lucky thing. That's one of the best Doctor Who stories ever.
Oh, I know. I know.
That's a brilliant excuse to watch it, I have to say. I haven't, obviously, watched it, and I don't know if I'm going to get time to. But I'm glad you're doing it, because at least one of us is.
And I'm looking at the trailer. I've got the trailer on mute as we're talking here.
Mm-hmm.
Other things that strike me is that... What is the name of the planet from the Brain of Morbius? This planet looks very much like Karn. Isn't that the planet?
Sounds familiar.
In the Brain of Morbius, just a junkyard with all
the crashed spaceships.
Yes.
That sounds familiar.
And we have a green-eyed dude.
Yeah.
Isn't this also the episode where the winner of last year's contest for a TARDIS console finally sees their TARDIS console?
So could that be the tenant-style TARDIS?
No.
No, you don't think so.
No, this was the Blue Peter had a
contest. Yeah, I know about the competition,
yeah.
But obviously we've seen clips of the Eccleston Tennant TARDIS console, and I will tell you that Karen Gillan appeared on the Paul O'Grady show. I don't know if it was last night or the night before.
I saw that.
Yeah,
yes.
And she said that I can't tell you much, but what I can say for David Tennant fans is that we see the Tennant TARDIS console room.
But
so.
I don't think that's next week.
You don't
think that's
so.
A couple of episodes down.
Cool. Okay, that's fine. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? This console is exactly like the one we've seen in episode 2 and in the Lodger.
Well, that's different from the one that was in the contest.
It is.
Yeah.
Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
It's eBay time.
Okay.
We always come back to that, it's fine. The usual thing, the Doctor Who Rare Unique Collection, including chess pieces, is still listed at £5,000, and still, surprise, surprise, nobody seems to be particularly interested in putting bids against it. So you've got to admire their sort of enthusiasm and sort of persistence, really, in putting this item or relisting this item so often, and rather ruining this link. Maybe they'll listen to this show and think, oh, I know what we'll do to scupper the 20 Megabyte podcast. We'll keep listing this boring product that nobody wants. Nothing on page one. That's a first. Do you think it might be because people are too busy trying to buy these brand new character option mini sort of collectibles of Doctor Who?
I don't know.
Have you seen my pictures on the
Facebook
page?
Yes, I have.
Facebook page?
I wish
Aren't
we could get those.
Cool? I'm sure you can, and they're going to be available. People are going to be buying them to sell them on eBay quite soon. And Forbidden Planet are flogging them, and certainly the Who Blackpool shop are selling them. So I'm sure our sponsors, whoone.co.uk, will have them in soon. They're going to be everywhere, but they're just certain ones of them, like Graham Sheridan was saying on Facebook, are going to be particularly rare. And he actually listed a page which states which are the rare ones. Fortunately, he said the Doctor with blue... shirt and blue bow tie, which is one I happen to be holding in my hand right now, is a rare one. And that, ironically, as far as I know, is the one that came free with the Daily Mirror yesterday.
Ah, so, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's really quite true that that's rare. But they're retailing at £1 to £2 each, and certain places are splitting them up so you can actually buy the specific... Because obviously they come when they sell them, they're going to be in a bag and you don't know what's inside them. So some places are splitting them from their bags and flogging them at slightly more expensive. But then as collector's items, are even more expensive than that. So that they're going to be the big thing for Doctor Who collectors now, these little figures. Because some, like the Doctor in raggedy costume, is going to be very, very rare. And others, like the Amy... there's a couple of Amys available. I've got the one with the red shirt on, is not going to be rare. But there's others with her with a long coat on, which is very rare. So, you know, it's going to be quite an interesting thing for people to collect. And I don't think the children will be that interested in collecting. It's certainly going to be us idiots. the Daily Mirror, to continue that subject, is bring out an Amy on Monday, which will probably, by the time this show goes out, will already be passed. And you can collect the tokens in the Daily Mirror, and you take them into Sainsbury's or Toys R Us, and you exchange them for these free things. It's a good thing to collect from the paper anyway. I've got a Dalek and a Doctor. Tomorrow's the Amy. Later on the week is a TARDIS. And my father-in-law has one of these TARDISes. It's like... it takes quite a long time to build, and he's broken it twice, so I've had to rebuild it twice. But they're very good, you know. They're quite good little collections to have, and you can buy the sets. I already bought the sets of the Doctor and Amy and the TARDIS. And there's another one out, which is the Dalek console room from Victory of the Daleks, very rudimentary version of it, but it's still there with a white Dalek, and. Really, really good and quite good fun. Sometimes, in my view, better than collecting the cards, because you've got very, very small, only the size of the end of your thumb, but they're quite good little characters.
Well, maybe I can pick some of those up when I go to that convention at the end of the month.
Maybe so, and I'm seriously considering offering one up as a prize on the show. So I know Robert Haynes' ears are probably just pricked up, having said that. I'll decide by the end of the show whether I actually will or not.
Okay.
But obviously it means I have to buy two copies of the Daily Mirror to get myself two coupons to actually go to the Sainsbury's to exchange them. But there you go. Number one in the eBay most expensively listed item this week is a number plate. X123 Who. And that's £195 plus £8 postage. And probably plus another fee for actually... getting it stuck on your car, so that's going to come in quite expensive for whoever decides to buy that. And there's only 20 minutes left on that one. Number two, oh dear, it's very thin this week. What are people spending money on? Probably my birthday present. Let's hope. Cyberman helmet chest unit, Doctor Who Cyberman prop, which is from the classic series. That's got 9 bids against it, £146 plus £15 postage. That looks like quite a good little item, actually. And let's see if we can find the third and final. Oh, we'll have to move on to page three for that one. Have you been tempted by any of these items?
No.
No, that's right.
Can't afford them.
No, nor can I.
I just brought up eBay here, which, of course, will look different. Now,
yes.
What did you... Describe the chess set again, because I think I see the same chess set.
I'll have to describe that in a minute, because I'm on page three, and that means I've got to go back to page one.
Okay.
It says, I think off the top of my head, because I've done it so many times now, it says rare, unique collection, including chess set. Listed at £5,000. But obviously it'd be dollars on your end, wouldn't it?
This is a Doctor Who Danbury Mint chess set, complete, 38 pieces, for $2,800, plus $50 shipping. Although that's not the most expensive thing on the U.S. end.
What's the most expensive thing on the U.S. end?
It's a Bally Doctor Who pinball machine restored for $2,945. Pickup only.
Has anybody put a bid against it yet?
Let me see. No bids.
What a surprise. I'm still scrolling down the list here to find the third most popular item on eBay. Now, if I have to go on to one more page, I'm going to give up on this particular item. We'll just stick with the two.
I'm scrolling down on my end, and I can't find anything with any bids.
Oh, I've got something. Either. I've got something. The third item in eBay is Doctor Who Classic Dalek Collector Sets 1 and 2, and that's listed at £85. And you can get them a bit cheaper, actually. You go into Forbidden Planet. So you found your Blue Peter thing?
Yes. It was posted on... Casterboros.com yesterday.
Yeah.
It says Blue Peter's at it again. Years ago they had a design a monster, blah blah blah. Last year they held a brand new competition for the kids where they were called upon to design a brand new TARDIS console with the promise it would appear in Doctor Who. The winner, Susanna Leah or Lee, from Todmorden, is finally about to have her dream come true as her design will feature in The Doctor's Wife, which is broadcast on May 14th. Not only will this lucky young lady have all that to deal with, she will also get to meet actor Matt Smith, receive two Blue Peter badges, have a tour of the studio, and see her design crafted into real-life elegance.
Lucky thing.
And I'm sure we'll see that on The Confidential next week, too.
Yes. Oh, that'd be good, yeah. That's something to look forward to. Well, I suppose that's more or less covered it this week, Kirby, including the problems with the recording and Skyping over a dodgy iPhone that's been giving me problems all day. And let's hope next week there won't be such problems. I hope to have some better communication equipment available to me.
Okay.
Okay. And enjoy the Doctor Who. Jim Land.
Oh, okay, yes. Oh, yeah. We're done with it with Pirates of the TARDIS, right? Okay.
Yeah, let's hope so, eh?
All right. Talk to you next week.
See you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
And I'm very delighted to present a very special guest on the show this week, Alicia Pearson.
I'm on every week.
But not going to be much on this week. Alicia, we watched what was known as an episode of Doctor Who on Saturday
night. Well done,
night.
Sherlock.
And I was quite interested to try and glean your opinions on said episode of Doctor Who. So what did you think of it then?
It was good.
Well, let's talk us through it, because you're particularly good at talking.
Still following.
It was what?
It was like still following, still like the good of my certain zone.
Same as usual then.
You say what I said in the car.
What did you say in the car?
About those theories we were talking about in the car.
I can't remember you talking about any theories in the car.
Yes, you did that. Can you actually
talk us through the story or whatever it was?
The problem is I've only watched it once.
Well, so have I.
Well, you talk through it then.
Well, didn't they? Well, it's basically
about pirates.
There's a pirate ship and the members of the crew are sort of getting cut or minor cuts. When they bleed, they seem to get taken by a strange sea creature. And the name of the sea creature was...
Oh, isn't it a siren?
Yeah, see? And then the Doctor, Amy and Rory turn up. And then all hell breaks loose. More people get...
killed.
Killed.
By blood.
Rory then gets a cut and he gets nearly taken by it. But Amy holds him.
That's funny.
And they find a stowaway, which turns out to be Captain's son. And the stowaways thinks that they're on a normal... Navy vessel, and it turns out obviously they're on a pirate ship. Then the little boy gets taken, and everybody gets taken basically. It's a bit like I said to Kirby earlier on, the horror of Fang Rock. They're on quite a claustrophobic environment, and members of the cast keep disappearing, mainly male members of the cast keep disappearing.
No, really, because males, but it proves that women are more careful,
isn't
it?
No, it proves that in the old days they weren't a lot of female pirates. What did you think of Amy's swashbuckling? As in, sword fighting.
That was very suspicious. And what Where did that come out from? Maybe it's from self-defence. You see, well, you're good as nice. I might try that.
But didn't you think it was a bit odd that she was so good with a sword?
All these questions will be revealed. All these little hints are being left everywhere, aren't it?
So, the siren turned out to be some sort of doctor.
Yes.
And they were on another ship. They were actually on a ship, weren't they? A spaceship. And all the members of the crew were in some sort of hospital being cared for by this doctor thing.
The siren, but they thought it was just killing him off, but actually the siren, any time you drop blood, it automatically makes you ill.
Because you're ill. Because you've damaged yourself, you require a doctor, so it just takes you.
Yeah.
If you're ill or you've cut yourself. And there's Rory on the... Because he's fallen into the... He got knocked into the sea, didn't he? So, the siren took him, but he's attached to the machine, and the only way of disattaching him from the machine will kill him. So, surprise, surprise, they kill him.
Yeah.
But Amy has to bring
resuscitate him,
but it doesn't seem to work.
But then it does work. It was a bit like a Captain Jack moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, so how many times now has Rory died?
Twice.
He died in the first story, he's died in this one. He died in the Hungry Earth episode. He died in...
Did he die?
How many times did he die last year?
Twice?
He died in Amy's Choice.
Why did you die in Amy's Choice?
Because he got caught by that strange alien thing. So, yes, it's a bit
any
absurd.
Time they want, any other love time they want
to well, he's on. Obviously going to die in every story this year as well. Well, obviously he came back to life. But then, obviously, on the TARDIS, it was probably more interesting than the story itself, we see the eye patch lady peering in.
Again. Well, my favourite is...
Here we go. This is the interesting bit, like, for the listeners.
It's another world.
What's another world?
It's like they're watching over her. Like, I think she has something. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. You know when you're. Oh God! I've watched it in film so many times. It's hard to explain. It's like when something happens, like when that time when she was in that house and she goes, "It's okay. She's only dreaming." Maybe in this other world. They probably think, oh my God, what's happened to Amy? Something's happened. Then she checks up and goes, oh yes, she's only dreaming, it's okay. Go back to normal.
It could be subliminal, but, and as I've said to Kirby and yourself, I don't want it that Amy's been dreaming the whole thing, the whole series.
Yeah, see,
that would be really annoying. But what it could be, it could be something similar to the Silence and the Lion.
Oh, unless, right, okay, listen to this. Right, unless Stephen Moffat has been very, 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 very clever.
That'd be unusual, wouldn't it?
And, I don't know, something happens to Amy and the doctor has to go and take it to like, maybe like this hospital or something like that. And Amy is in she's in a coma. But she's dreaming always. Maybe this has happened, but she's rethinking it, that she's dreaming it all over again. And then maybe sometimes they think, oh, she is conscious, and then she checks on her and says, no, it's okay, she's only dreaming, it's fine. So she's dreaming about her time.
She's in a coma, and she's just remembering in a comatose state what's happened in her adventures.
Yes.
And
then in the last episode, it reveals what's happened to her and why she's there and stuff like that.
Do you think that would be the last episode of this half of the series or the second half of the series?
Second half. No, actually, first half.
Well, that's quite feasible, actually, Alicia. And it would be bearable, because at least it would have mean all the adventures that she's had have actually happened.
Yeah, then the doctor, probably something's happened to her and the doctor has to take her somewhere to go try and get her better. Well, something's happened and she's in a coma because of it.
Yes.
And the doctor, that's why they put her in a coma, because maybe the doctor doesn't want to see it, and then when they think she's conscious, that's why she always checks on her.
But also, the way she's looking in through it looks like that she's in a prison cell. That's like a prison warden will look in to a prison cell for a little hatch and say, alright, yeah, she's just dreaming, and shuts it down. So what they do in prison when the prisoners make out, they call out, don't they? And they go up and look in through the sort of cell door and then shut it again. So that,
I don't know, might be, yeah.
That's what it appears to be, or maybe a mental home or something like that.
Yeah, a mental home. Sick. Oh.
Well, that proves that what she saw in the orphanage didn't actually happen in the orphanage.
Mm.
Yeah, she's just something that's happening to Amy. But it also reminded me of scenes that happened in the Silence in the Library story, when you were in Cal's world in Silence in the Library. Things like that happened in Cal. Cal saw things like that. You know, the odd things that when she was watching the telly, she could see what was happening in the library. Yeah, when she was watching the telly, she saw the Doctor and Donna and everything. And then when Donna was saved, all that stuff was happening to her. All these surreal things and the Dr. Moon saying, and then you forgot.
Mm.
So, yes. But that's the only thing we can use from this story, is to theorise what this eye patch lady was. There was a clip from next week's episode.
Time Lord.
Doctor's wife, and yes, the possibility of the time. But so Kirby or somebody, I think it was Kirby, said that the planet was quite similar to, remember the Brain of Morbius? The planet about the Sisterhood of Khan and Sacred Flame, Sacred Fire. They had the Elixir of Life and they tried to kill the Doctor. And the Brain of Morbius. Morbius had that his brain in a sort of fishbowl. He was this monster walking around. Oh,
God. I'm surprised you can't remember that story. But anyway, Alicia, in this cameo appearance of yours, have you trodden on the remote because it's paused?
I feel ill. I feel really ill.
So, that's about it really, isn't it? There's not really much else to say. Isabella didn't see it. Oh, your Papa, what did Papa say? He said something quite interesting, didn't he?
He did?
Yeah, he said...
I was asleep.
Yeah, well, Doctor Who last night. What was that all about? Didn't he? What do you mean you were asleep? You were at the dinner table.
No, I probably blanked over then.
As usual. Yes, he said...
watching the football.
Yes, he said that he didn't quite understand what was going on with it. Mm. Well, I think that's probably speaks for the casual viewer quite nicely. So, listeners, that, for this episode, was Alicia.
Okay.
And it's wonderful to have back on the show in his normal sort of state, Ben Shoveler.
In my normal sort of state?
Rather than, yes, the real Ben rather than Cyber Ben from last week.
It's 10:25 in the morning, you make it sound like I'm some sort of drunkard in his usual state. Hi, everybody! I've had me morning tipple and stuff. How are you, Adam? All right, missed you last week.
Oh, I missed you. It was very, very sort of surreal speaking to a cyber you.
Well, do you know what? It was because I was quite disappointed that I wasn't going to be able to do it, but, you know, family reasons and all that kind of thing, and sometimes it's just not possible, but I really wanted to put my thoughts across on what was a rather excellent two-part episode last week.
It was indeed a very excellent two-part episode. So, did you actually hear the way you were worked into the show last week?
I'll say yes. And I think you did it fantastically, whatever you did. Yes, yes, it was brilliant. I thought, yes, I was more than pleased with the way you did it.
Good. Did you like the way that the first part of your audio made it sound like you were talking down a drain pipe?
That's because I was.
Ah, well, that
was my new audio technique.
Cool.
It was record things via a drain pipe and see how it sounds. And
it did a really good job.
Of it.
Yeah, excellent.
It did, yeah. You've got to be pleased with it, haven't you?
Anyway, right. Curse of the Black Spot.
Yes. What an episode.
It was... All right. Well, obviously, it was always going to have a problem coming off the back of, you know, a major epic two-parter like we had with the first two episodes of the series.
Well, yeah, it was kind of like one of those episodes where you started watching and you think, throwaway episode, nothing to do with the story arc, but it did.
Yeah.
Have rather a lot to do with the story arc, didn't it? And I think some rather big answers were given away.
One that I picked up on the second viewing, I didn't pick much up on second viewing, but the thing I did pick up was the fact that TARDIS was taken, and that says to me the TARDIS isn't very well.
Well, yeah, I kind of got that on the first viewing, but I think the major thing. Yeah. Should we leave the major thing of the episode to the end of a quick discussion?
Yes, if you like. Yes, as long as you don't forget.
No, let's not forget. I'm sure I'll remember it as we're going through. I hope.
I haven't actually made any notes because last week I made notes and never used them. Obviously it's people are getting ill and getting taken by some strange demon, which is the siren. All they have to do is even cut themselves and the siren appears like a ghostly angel in some ways and takes them just by touching them with a little pointy finger. And then the Doctor, Amy and Rory appear and do some piratey voices.
Of course, we're all meant to think that everything going on the ship is for badness, and that the siren is an evil person who's killing people, and yada yada yada.
I quite like little twists like that, though. Normally, and not it wasn't too bad on this occasion, to be honest with you. But what I said to Kirby, what it reminded me of a little bit, like had the atmosphere of Horror Fang Rock, where it was all enclosed in that sort of environment, all the cast was gradually being killed off. But in Horror Fang Rock, you were just left with Leela and the Doctor. And they didn't go off to a spaceship and stuff.
I can see how you can tie the two together, definitely. It was the same kind of feel, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Also reminded me a lot of the The Peter Davidson episode.
Enlightenment?
Well, yeah, where they were on the ship, and, on the ship floating through space as well, and, if I didn't know that they'd built the sets from scratch, you could have thought, maybe they've done a bit of reusing from 30-odd years ago.
Yeah.
But no, it was, and that reminded me a bit of that.
And a bit of Carnival of the Monsters when they were on, I suppose it's because it's all seafaring stuff, but the Carnival of the Monsters was also a similar feeling to me. It was a big sort of mixture of, obviously not the main storyline as Carnival of the Monsters, just the bit where they were on the ship.
Yeah, of course, and, if you have a look through the history of Doctor Who, there's not too many times he's been on a ship.
Mm. And then The Chase, of course, he was on the Mary Celeste, and the Daleks turned up. I could go on.
Yeah, we could, we could. You know, there's not been that many, I think probably four or five doesn't constitute as lot.
No. So anyway, the Doctor has a bit of banter with the pirates and does a bit of ooh-ar and all that stuff. The pirates don't take too kindly to it and decide to get him to walk the plank. To comic effect, Amy then decides to grab a sword and is instantly an expert with a cutlass.
Well, I'm expecting actually to see Karen taking up fencing in time for the London Olympics next year.
Yeah,
and hopefully she'll be bringing home the gold. Great Britain. But no, it was, it was brilliant, Doctor Who fantasy, wasn't it?
It was good fun, but you do think, how come she's so suddenly good with a blade? And I think, is there something behind that? Has she got some sort of hidden memories of actually being fighting somewhere along the line? Because we have this eye patch lady keeps appearing, doesn't she? So
I think it was probably just a case that she was fighting for her life. And as she was only fighting someone who was, fighting her with a broom, she wasn't in perilous danger. And although she was quite handy with sword, but, hey.
And of course, the pirates were quite keen to stay away from it because they didn't want to get nicked and get taken by the siren. So. But it did look really good. I thought she was brilliant in that sense. And then Rory gets the pirates overcome Amy, and Rory gets nicked, and then the siren turns up, and I thought Arthur Darvill played that scene really well, because at one minute he's sort of being Rory, and then suddenly the siren turns up and he goes all sort of drunk.
Goopy.
Yeah, and tells Amy she's the most beautiful thing he's ever seen, and Amy's a bit,
he saw the siren.
yeah
and
she was quite nice as well,
he's ever seen. And Amy wasn't too pleased with that.
No.
But then they spend the next 10 or so minutes trying to run away from the siren and trying to work out what
it is. I did like the
siren
when she turned red. I thought she looked pretty.
Yeah.
Cool.
Might go all red. And the backlighting changes.
So basically, the doctor's decided that the siren is transporting via water. Gets it wrong, of course. Because it's actually precious, it's the thing that's transporting reflections.
That was a nice little twist, I thought, there, trying to, work out what it was the siren wanted, how the siren was getting to them all the time, and, working through the possibilities of what it could be, starting with the water, and then working out it was actually shiny stuff and reflections.
Mm. So they decided that... I found the Doctor's screwdriver's quite shiny as well. It didn't seem to...
That was true. It was a nice, shiny, big screwdriver this episode, and obviously again artistic license is allowed to be,
so they have to chuck away I like it when he realizes it's the jewelry that does it, and he's over
that was a funny bit, wasn't it? When he ran in, he breathed heavily over it for 10 seconds and then ran away again. there was again, the comic moment.
It was quite good for comedy. The son of the captain, who thinks that they're on a naval vessel, gets
a stowaway and
disappointed when he discovers
the life.
When he discovers that his dad's actually a pirate.
Arr, he's a pirate.
And then he ends up going into the TARDIS with the Doctor.
Yeah, that was another good bit, wasn't it? He ran in there and, yes, it's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. Can we skip to the end of that bit? Thank you.
Yeah. And then, of course, they try to... I don't know exactly what they were trying to do in the TARDIS, but it results in the TARDIS making some very strange noises, and they run back out again, and the TARDIS disappears to the obvious place, which is where they are. So I think I did, when I was watching that, we know where they've gone. They've all gone to the same place. I can't really imagine they're dead, especially when the TARDIS goes. So you knew there was something.
Well, yeah, when the TARDIS went, I mean, I saw it twice. I saw it by myself on Saturday evening, and then watched it with a friend last night, who's also, I'm getting into Doctor Who more and more every week.
Good.
He was like, oh, where's the TARDIS gone? What's he going to do now? How can the Doctor get away? He hasn't got his TARDIS.
So that moment reminded me of Frontius. I know the TARDIS sort of vanished and sort of exploded in some way. But anyway, sorry, I'm getting sidetracked somewhat. So the TARDIS is gone, and then whilst the captain is in the ship with the TARDIS, his little sidekick bloke decides he's got to embark on a bit of mutiny because he thinks the captain's gone soft.
A bit of mutiny on the Bounty.
Yeah, and doesn't the little boy manage to scratch him?
Well, everyone died in the end, didn't they? Apart from the Doctor, Amy, and the pirate captain. Everyone got nicked or...
Yeah, so I think the little boy snicks the bloke's hand with his sword, and of course he gets marked, and then Siren takes him, and then, like you say, eventually they all got taken. They left with the Doctor, Amy, and Rory. Then Rory gets knocked in by a boom of a sail or something like that, doesn't he, into the water, and the only way to save him, the Doctor realises that the Siren is, in fact, something that doesn't kill people.
Well, I mean, it kind of dawns on him that, you know, the only way that Rory's going to possibly survive is if they let the Siren out of the barrel, which he was kind of in. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somehow,
save Rory from drowning.
I mean, that is a good somehow, isn't it, though, Ben? Because she's supposed to be a nurse, basically, isn't she? Or doctor looking after these patients. So how could she do that whilst in this barrel?
But she seems a little bit Florence Nightingale, doesn't she? Yeah. In the fact that, you know, she's making people ill and then, you know, making herself look good in the fact that, well, she's not making them ill, but, you know, she takes them where there's nothing wrong with them, really.
Yeah, because...
that makes herself look good.
Yeah, well, obviously, the tiniest medical thing, she will take them, because she, obviously, that's how she's been programmed. So even a sneeze will be enough for her to take someone. That's why the little boy is marked for death, wasn't he? Because he had a typhoid or fever.
Yeah, so, yeah. He had the fever. Yeah. And then after Rory gets knocked in, the Siren takes Rory, and then they work out that the only way they can go and find out what's going on is if they also get taken by the Siren. So they prick their fingers, and sure enough, the Siren turns up, and then touchy, 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 boom! And then they wake up, on a spaceship, on the ship that they were just on.
That's unusual for Doctor Who, isn't it?
Well, it is, but, you know, that is the biggest reveal of the episode.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, did you admit what?
No, I thought you. What? I thought this was a bit. You were going to say that there's the this has got something to do with the main sort of storyline.
Yeah.
This is
you know, the next 5 minutes explains a lot of what's going to happen or how what's going to happen is going to happen.
Oh, cool.
Because they've set up the story now, obviously. The fact that you've got two realities playing out against each other, and the realities are kind of leaking through to each other.
Ooh, I like this. Go on.
No, that's it. That's basically it. There are two realities going on. There are two timelines which are merging by the seams of it, or crossing over from one to the other, and that is how Amy is pregnant and also not pregnant.
Yeah.
And that is also how, and it's all caused, sorry, if you think right back to the 11th hour.
Right.
What did they say about the crack in Amy's wall? It's two realities merging, or two realities pushing together, or something along the lines of that.
Yeah, well, what did the Doctor see, and Amelia, when they looked through the crack on that occasion? It was a prison.
It was a silent.
Was it?
I think so, wasn't it?
Well, I remember seeing bars.
Well, it was I thought it was a silent in the prison or something like that. Or,
was it?
I don't know. Let's have a. We'll keep on discussing, and I'll see if I can find it on the internet and have a quick look, see what we'll find.
Okay.
It is. But it was something like that. But anyway, it was that's the main part, I think, of the episode. That's why this episode. Because it was meant to be episode 9, this episode, wasn't it?
Oh, was
they
it?
Moved it to be episode. Yes, it was, yeah. Now, I don't know, and I haven't done enough research, bad Ben, to find out whether they filmed it as episode 9. And then thought, no, we'll put it in as episode 3. Or if it was written as episode 9, and then during the filming or before filming, they thought, right, this can go in as episode 3. Because, as I say, that excuse me, that little bit about the realities mixing or you know, two different versions of events playing out at the same time, two cars being in the same space at the same time, that kind of thing. Hold on. Excuse
me. Careful, the siren will come and get you.
Yeah, oh, there she is. Oh, my love. yeah, that bit is massively important to everything that's going on.
No, that shows how rubbish I am, doesn't it? Because I didn't pick up that at all. But now you said it.
Well, it was funny because I was watching it thinking, what has this got to do with everything we've learned so far? Mm. And then that bit pops up and it's just like, okay, that's it. Now, of course, the reason I'm thinking that is because I've been reading, as I do when I get really into it, or I read a lot of message board stuff and people's theories. And that was a theory that I read about a week and a half ago about the two realities, and it seemed to be playing out in that episode there. So I'll be very surprised if that's got, you know. That's
so, do you think this is initially got still to do with the original crack, or?
Yeah.
So what the doctor did at the Big Bang didn't fix it, fix it entirely.
The kind of issue I've got with it is the fact that it seems to be the same kind of realities leaking, dimensions leaking into each other, as they had in the last David Tennant episodes. Series 2. The end of Series 2, with the last one's Rose was, where she got left on Bad Wolf Bay.
Yeah.
Now, if you remember, all the Cybermen were leaking through when they thought it was a ghost, they were calling it a ghost shift, weren't they?
Yeah.
And it was because they were kind of like leaking through the reality, but not being able to get through totally because there was only a crack. There wasn't a full, you know, breakage of the timelines.
Okay.
So that's how the Cybermen were getting through to start with. And that's the same kind of thing that seems to be happening here. So I'm a little bit like, well, hold on, the doctor fixed that twice. So how's it happening again? Seems that, I don't know, I think that's what it seems to be to me, but, you know. Can they not come up with some sort of different plot line? Because it seems to be repeating itself quite a little bit at the moment. As does the next bit of the story, when obviously they get down to the sick bay eventually after seeing this different ship that they're on and discussing all the things about how there's two parking spaces, two cars in the same parking space, two this, two that.
And of course, people are thinking that in Time and Space, the Comet Relief mini episodes, which were, I mean, I've always said they were canon, there was a clue there, the fact that the TARDIS was inside the TARDIS. They were saying that that Amy was going to ask the Doctor a question. There was little clues within that Time and Space episode, which I think have a bearing on this as well.
You think so?
A clue. I think the TARDIS, like you say, the realities and the time itself.
It was written by Moffat as well, wasn't it? The specials, and so therefore, I mean, he obviously knows what he's doing. Yeah. He's got this long story that he's playing out, and. Yeah, you know, I mean, parts of it are going to hark back to Matt Smith's first season, and it's all going to link together.
Something's just dawned on me, Ben. Actually, I'm just watching silently the end of it, where they're in that hospital type place, and the doctor's about to attack the doctor. The siren, she's gone red, and the doctor chucks his tissue on the floor, and she destroys it. But her eyes are all red. She looks very ood like. The shape of the eyes when they're red is very ood like. I don't think it probably isn't, but it does.
I don't think it's, no.
That's what it looked like to me.
I completely see where you're coming from. I don't think I would be surprised if that's related. But then again, saying that, who's in next week's episode?
Ood.
Ood. So, most things are going to be linked in one way or the other,
possibly,
aren't they? Possibly.
Anyway, I interrupted you. I'd had to say that then because it was up on the screen as I was speaking.
No, fair enough. And then, obviously, after they get down to the sick bay, they work out that, as we just mentioned, that the siren is actually
a nurse or doctor.
A nurse or doctor, and trying to do good, but kind of like going a little bit too far.
She knows how to keep them alive, but she doesn't know how to cure them.
But then they kind of like, you know, Amy does the pact with her to say that she'll look after Rory, and they unplug him from his life support, and they get him back to TARDIS, and
he dies after again.
Again, I'm getting so fed up with Rory dying every week.
I wonder if Rory's getting a bit fed up.
Seriously. It's getting to the point where you just think, not again.
So he died twice last year. He's already died twice this year, hasn't he, after three episodes.
Yeah. And the Doctor's died once as well. I mean, it's getting silly. Yeah. You know, I know it's sci-fi and wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey and all that kind of gubbins, but...
The thing is, if your main characters are getting killed off in every episode and then coming back to life again, it really does detract from the jeopardy of it all. Oh, yeah. It's getting back to life.
It does. Yeah. Absolutely, you know, if you know that, you know, if you, when next time you see Rory die, the first thing you're going to think is, I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean,
it loses its, you know, its shock factor that a main character has died, because, you know, unfortunately, the main character has died again. And you just think, oh, for God.
A good enough writer should be able to bring in a character to, you know, a one-off character and kill them. To, you know, an effect that would you know, generate emotion in the viewer. I mean, if they hadn't brought Jenny back to the life at the end of the Doctor's daughter, that would have been a good example of that happening. So it's a character that, you know, you started to like, and you thought, oh, she'd be quite good in it, and then she gets killed, but of course then she comes back to life again. I think the original plan was to kill her off. But, you know,
I think the thing we've got to remember on this part is the fact that it obviously is a family TV program.
Yeah, but you can still kill people off in family TV programs.
Oh, yeah, no, of course they can kill people off in family TV programs, but I think, you know, if you're trying to get 6, 7, 8-year-olds watching it, 9-year, you know, you don't want to leave them emotionally scarred that their favourite people are dying every week.
Yeah, but favourite person's died and then he's coming back to life a couple of minutes later. I mean, the fact is, obviously, with this, you saw Rory was dead, but we'd already seen clips of him in the Eccleston Tennant TARDIS anyway, from the pre-season preview. So we hadn't seen that yet, so we knew more or less that he wasn't dead, although I was starting to doubt it. It was really well played, that scene. I was starting to doubt it. Oh, well, they really have done it this time. And, oh, well, of course they haven't.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the music they were using in the background, it started to build up, didn't it? The music was, it was kind of like, Rory's going to die, Rory's going to die, Rory's dead. And he's alive. You know, it built to a massive climax in the music. Yeah, just the climax. He came back to life and it was just like, oh.
Again,
but anyway, after he came back to life, you had a lovely little scene of the... Of the somehow, I don't quite get it, the captain flying the spaceship.
Yeah,
he did make
and
a comment earlier.
A rather cheesy moment where all his crew come up and lean gently on the back of the chairs.
Yes, pat each other on the shoulder and say, ho, 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 and a bottle of whatever.
Yeah, silly.
And obviously, the little boy's there, but I didn't think that they could leave the infirmary place, or was it just the spaceship?
Well, he still had the tube attached to his neck, didn't he? I think they all did, actually.
A blooming long tube.
Very long tube, yeah.
But then, anyway, they flew off into the ether, and then get back to the TARDIS,
bringing Rory back to life.
After they brought Rory back to life, the thing which made me giggle most about this episode, made me think, we've never ever seen that before, is where Amy's going up the stairs and says, I'm going to bed now, Doctor. What? They might as well turn around and say, I'm just going to toilet quickly. Things you don't see in TV programmes.
True, but I think there's also the bit earlier on in the episode when he says to the captain that the bathroom, the toilet's through there, and there, isn't he?
Yeah.
So that's the first mention of a toilet. I know they've mentioned the bathroom and swimming pool. But, yeah, it's nice in a way that we've seen bedrooms in Doctor Who before, that we've actually had someone on their way to bed.
But it's one of those things you don't see, you know, they haven't got time for that generally, because obviously you know that people go to bed and go to toilet, you don't have to see it in the TV programme to make it, you know, more real.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously this was part of the plot line, the fact that Amy and Rory got off to bed and then they had to, oh, I still worry about you, I worry about you all the time.
And a flashback scene. And that flashback scene of the Doctor getting killed was from Amy's perspective, and that was quite good that they used that long shot for that particular thing, I thought.
All right, so tell me this then, and this puzzled me last night. How then did Rory know what Amy had a flashback to? Because he then turned around and said, you can't tell him, it's his future. How did he know what she's just seen in her head?
Because they're, you know, married, and you get these things, you know what people are thinking sometimes, because he was probably thinking the same thing. I let them off that one, because he knows,
no,
he's
I
seen
don't.
It, and he knows she's talking about and just looking at the Doctor, and he will know that she's thinking, just looking at him, in that way. I'll let them off that one. But I can understand where you're coming from with that one.
I can't let them off that.
You
sorry.
Can't. Well,
that,
I am.
That's just rubbish. That's just like, you've seen it as the viewer, so therefore you know what's going on, but Rory wouldn't have had a clue. Well, he might have had a clue, but he wouldn't have known what she'd just seen and be able to make a comment on it. So anyway, so obviously they go off to bed.
Yeah.
And the doctor's still doing a scan, the same scan.
And it still says positive, negative, positive, negative. And then he says, oh, Amelia.
Now, the two, I've already given one theory across as to why. Yeah, hello?
Yeah, sorry, I'm listening.
All right. I've already given the one theory as to why the TARDIS was saying negative, positive, negative, positive. And that's the fact that there are two realities or two, whatever you want to call it, kind of like intertwining, and it can't tell one from the other. Or it's the fact that the baby is somehow part silent or has got some sort of silent thing in it.
You know what, Dawn, what made me think it might have been? Has the doctor set up the scan for human and it's part alien? So it's going positive for human, negative for the alien.
Well,
you know what I mean? Or the other way around.
Possibly. Or it's the case that, you know, if the silent has done something to the baby, interfered with it in some way or the other, then obviously the scanner is finding it and then forgetting it and finding it and forgetting it and finding it and forgetting it.
True.
So, you know, because obviously there's the whole thing about seeing the silent and then forgetting they're there.
Mm.
And so maybe it's doing that, or maybe it's the reality thing. One way or the other, the baby, obviously, you know, she's going to have a baby at some point in one of the realities. Yeah.
And I don't think it's anything to do with this child that's regenerated.
Do you not? No.
I think that's just a red herring. And I don't think it. Possibly. I don't think it is the child, or I'm not. Maybe it might be the baby she's holding in the picture that when she's in that, you know, in the child's room. But I don't think the regenerating child is her baby, or the doctor's baby, or River's baby, or whatever.
Well, River's not a Time Lord.
No.
So, and you know.
But there's somebody said about her death because she said to the doctor that she had to go into this machine and strap herself in. Remember when she handcuffed the doctor to that pole so he couldn't do it?
Yeah.
He said, well, if you do this, you will die. You will not be able to regenerate. That's made someone think that she may have had maybe the type, or she knew she couldn't regenerate if she got herself killed, and she couldn't let the doctor die because she'd already killed him perhaps in the past, so she couldn't kill him again. I don't know. But yeah, I think you're probably right. I think she probably isn't a Time Lord. But if the doctor clearly isn't as perceptive in being able to detect he's the only Time Lord in the universe, so it is possible that he's missed out, that he's missed one staring at him in the face.
Yeah, that is totally possible. But I don't know. I don't think River Song is a Time Lord. I think, and obviously, then, you know, that was the end of that episode. And then we had the next time, and then you know, the first little bit. And there's also some clips online on the BBC website, Doctor Who, that says the show's the beginning 30 seconds or minute or so.
Another prequel. They call it a prequel. That's right. Yeah, I haven't seen that prequel. Yeah. I did watch the prequel to this episode when online, so I will try and get to watch the prequel for next week.
And there's also a few more clips of the episode, and one of them is they're standing in the TARDIS and they're hearing a knock on the door, and they go and open the, you know, they open the door after the much hilarity of, but we're in deep space and all that. And you know, in the little preview that we saw at the end of the episode on Saturday, you see the Doctor saying, "I've got mail."
And it's a Time Lord. I'm not the only one. And you also see the clips of Saran Jones, who very much seems Time Lordy. Not saying she is, but she's acting in that strange. And the way she's dressed and the way the doctor's sort of reacting, interacting with her is a bit. I don't want to jump to conclusions, but it is called The Doctor's Wife. I know most of the time they do this, and it's not quite as it sounds from the title, but it did prove the doctor's daughter was the doctor's daughter, but not in the conventional way when it was a doctor's daughter.
That's true.
And obviously, maybe we see Ood there, and the Ood seem to be doing their old job of. Basically being skivvies.
They seem to be incredibly evil, and they're green, not red eyes when they go.
Well, I just saw a quick shot of them helping to lug stuff around what looks like a ship graveyard, from what I've seen.
Well, are you talking about the main set where they've landed?
The bits you've seen, it's really weird. I mean, it's very quick shots, but... there's lots going on. I'm wondering if that's the one where we see the Tenant TARDIS. Maybe there's a crash TARDIS there, and they go inside because there's all sorts of orange lights flashing around. So,
well, the one thing that I do know is that
no spoilers.
No, I won't give you a spoiler, but the place where they've landed is meant to be, well, in the original script, I can't remember who wrote the script for the next one, but he basically wanted it to be like, what's the name of the lane? The lane in Unearthly Child.
Oh, was it? Okay. Well, somebody else, I think it was Kirby, said that it looked like Sarn from Brain of Morbius.
No, it's meant to be like an updated, bigger version of the original place where the TARDIS landed in an Unearthly Child. Breaker's Lane, no.
Totter's Lane.
I can't remember the name of the road. Yeah, where the TARDIS first landed. Totter's Lane, basically, yeah. Where we saw it. Yeah, that. It's meant to be a junkyard like that, but in space.
Mm-hmm.
That's what cool. I read anyway.
Okay.
But, the Curse of the Black Spot, which, I'm sorry, we've got to say it right. You've got to say the Curse of the Black Spot.
Why, yes, we have. And I'll say, it wasn't as good as, there's no way, it was going to be very difficult for it to be as good as the first two episodes. I said to her, Kirby, it was just a run-of-the-mill mid-season Doctor Who story, which was all right. It wasn't bad, wasn't good, it was just okay.
It was okay. I think there were, it was clever at the end, obviously, but it was also a little bit, oh, God, not baddies, goodies, and, you know, all that kind of stuff with the siren. But, as I say, I think when it comes to the end of series, or even maybe the mid-series interval... Mm.
You would expect that to be a good episode.
There will be bits from the episode on Saturday which, as I said, explain a lot of what has what is going to happen or what is able to happen. So I think it was an important episode on that side of things.
Yeah, so it's funny though, isn't it? All these the episodes that you think aren't necessarily important tend to be a bit more important than originally thought, like The Lodger. Obviously, The Lodger is a very important episode. Although I watched it a second time and I couldn't glean anything from it in relation to what's happening now, it obviously is a very important episode on this particular story.
Yeah, no, I think it absolutely is. I think, as I say, there'll be bits which at the end of the series you'll go, okay.
Because, of course, right. James Corden and Karen Gillan were both on Paul O'Grady last week and mentioned the fact they were together, and that's the first time that she'd been able to work together on an episode, because, obviously, when The Lodger was on, Amy was stuck in the TARDIS. Amy Light episode, and they didn't get to see each other during the production.
That'll be interesting. That's actually together, which would be nice. But,
so, anyway... Shall we move on? Did you want to say anything else before we move on?
No, I think I'm probably done on that one. I've watched it twice, and I think that'll probably do for a while.
Yeah, I haven't watched the Confidential yet. I tried watching it, but my Sky Plus thing in the front room only recorded 3 minutes of it, and it was the last three minutes.
Of it.
So I'm just hoping the other Sky Plus has recorded a bit more than 3 minutes. Right, so should we move on to the Doctor Who podcast Top 20?
Okay, have you sent me emails this week?
Yes, I have.
Have you?
Yeah, yes,
okay.
I have.
Okay, I've got that one, and I've got Robert's feedback.
Oh, good, yes. And the other one is just a technical email that hopefully will help you.
I know, but you bombarded me with technical stuff. Oh, there we go. It's just turned up, this week's Top 20. So I'm reading this as it's just turned up on the email. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
At number 20, down 5, it's Staggering Stories. At 19, a re-entry for the TARDIS Tavern. For the Naked Scarf podcast. 17, down 4, the Unearthly Child podcast. And at 16, a re-entry for the Curinoid podcast.
That's the Crinoid podcast, listeners.
Crinoid.
Crinoid.
What have I missed there? What's Crinoid?
Crinoid is the great big monster that they, when they reused the Axon suits for in Seeds of Doom.
Right, yes, gotcha. 15, Bigger on the Inside, a re-entry. 14, another re-entry for the Happiness Patrol. 13, down 3 for the Pharos Project. And at 12, down 1, the second best-named podcast in the list, Bad Wolf. Number 11, a re-entry for Doctor Who Review Today. And number 10, a re-entry, Mostly Harmless Cutaway. Number 9, up 3, 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. Yay. Number 8, down 2, the Amiga podcast. 7, a re-entry for Podcast of Impossible Things. Number 6, down 1, the Flashing Blade. Number 5, down 1, the DWO Hoolcast. Number 4, down 1, for Radio Free Scaro. Number 3, down 1, for the Tin Dog. A re-entry of 2 for Doctor Who Podshock, which means at number 1, it's a non-mover, the Doctor Who Podcast.
Marvellous. And I would just like to say, considering all those illustrious podcasts that are in this top 20, and the fact that we've moved up to number 9, I'm rather chuffed by that.
Good, yeah, so am I. I'd rather be, you know, 8 places higher, but hey, you can't have everything, can you?
Now, the way this particular chart is devised, as I've mentioned before, basically you have to be a member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance, so if your feed comes through within that 7-day period on the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance, then I will make a note of it on this list, and then we will look at two listings. One, I search Doctor Who Podcast on the iTunes thing on my phone, and then I'd search Doctor Who and list podcasts. Now, you get two slightly differing lists there, and then I'll put numbers, positions against them, and then work out the average, and then the top 20 is then devised by that. So it's just wonderful to be so high up the charts with such illustrious podcasts. And bearing in mind, this week we had 39 Doctor Who podcasts released.
So, really? So yeah. We're doing all right at number 9, then?
We certainly are.
I'll be pleased with it.
That includes such illustrious and wonderful shows as Radio Rassilon, 2 Minute Time Lord, Raggedy Podcast, Oodcast, Untempered Schism, Cultum Collective, New Who Podcast, Travelling the Vortex, Telos. That's a new one, Telos AM, Geek Syndicate, US WhoCast, the WhoCast from Germany, Earth Station 1, Dave AC's video blog, Arrow of Time, Cloister Room, and Tim's Take On. So I thought all those podcasts deserve a mention, as well as the top 20, obviously.
And you mentioned them all.
I did. So have you got time, Ben? Ooh, what's that?
Oh, hold on, the wife's talking at me.
I can hear.
Hello, darling, you all right? Just doing the podcast.
Have a coat and it was raining.
Oh, you are a bit wet. Anyway, well, I'll be about. Yeah, it's just started raining. I'll be about 5 minutes, babe.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking to.
No, not to you, Adam. Yeah, just recording the podcast. 5 minutes, yeah.
Okay. Right.
I've got 5 minutes.
We've got 5 minutes to do better. What's his name?
Robert's email.
Robert's email. That's the
God,
chat.
I don't know if we can do this in 5 minutes. It's 15 pages long. All right. He says, a piracy hello. Hello. And shiver me timbers to Adam, Ben, Alicia, Isabella and Kirby. Wow, that list gets longer all the time, he brackets. I have to say it from the start, I really like the episode. From the get-go, it's very piratey. It has most of the pirate clichés, swashbuckling, swordplay, mutiny, stowaways, storm at sea and a man overboard, or Rory, as well as treasure. About the only thing it lacked were the parrot on the shoulder, isn't true. I remember the pirate planet and peg and a peg leg.
I've forgotten all about Pirate Planet, Ben.
I've completely forgotten about Pirate Planet.
Mm.
Well done, Robert, for reminding us.
Mm.
I don't know whether it is of any significance, but have you noticed that in the Day of the Moon there was a mobile above the baby's bed? He sees a photo of herself holding a baby. Holding a baby, I think I was going to say. And at the end of the episode, we have stuff the cart that the man is pushing when the little girl regenerates. Oh, I didn't notice that. And in this episode, we have things hanging off the rigging of the ship. I don't know whether it means anything, but keep your eyes open for similar things in other episodes.
Yeah, you have to keep your eye open for every little detail, don't you? That's the trouble.
You do. There's a nice theme when the Doctor... Oh, hold on, missed a bit, sorry. I missed the whole bit out. Let's go back up there. There we go. I like the Doctor's line about the Captain's beardiness and what with the Captain waving his gun about all the time, overcompensating. Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I think that Matt Smith brings a nice balance to the humour among seriousness that he has, along with his energy. The Doctor has a thing about hats, doesn't he? What with putting on the Tricorn pirate hat.
Yeah, he looked quite good in it, though.
Yeah, he did, yeah. There's a nice theme when Doctor's at the TARDIS controls again, where he just doesn't seem to be able to be very good with the controls, like the past with the Doctor in The Impossible Astronaut, when River has to go after around the Doctor fixing his mistakes with the controls. Oh, yeah. And it harks back to the classic series when the Doctor is not quite the best with the TARDIS controls. It's a nice touch.
Yeah, and I think Romana sort of helped him out, didn't she?
Obviously, that's happened many times in Doctor, not knowing actually which one's the accelerator. we see the lady with the eye patch, who I believe is called Madame Covarian.
Oh, him and his blimmin' spoilers.
Oh, no, I'd read that as well, actually.
No, sorry, sorry, Robert. I hadn't read that. I don't read stuff about
doctors. It's you that doesn't do any research.
it's not research. I just don't want to catch anything.
You don't research, no.
I just don't want to catch anything. I don't want to hear about any future episodes.
Well, I don't know. I kind of want to know. Okay. Anyway, we see her again. So there's another pirate cliche, because she has one eye covered. I believe that she features more prominently in the mid-series episode. I have a feeling that she's like a children's nanny. We see that we have a parallel universe type scenario going on, the reflections of portals. When we get to the sick bay, the design is quite reminiscent of the movie Coma, where the patients are deliberately put into comas and have their organs harvested. In that movie, the patients are suspended on wires to prevent pressure sores. Oh, yeah. As people are in a coma and can't move themselves and to be turned, otherwise the skin breaks down. But I digress.
She's well suited to this podcast.
Yeah, very good. The design just echoes that movie. There's the touching scene between Amy and Rory when Rory shows absolute faith in Amy to resuscitate him, so poor old Rory faces death again. What is it with Amy brackets? Mm. I think that Amy redeemed herself after being so nasty last week with Rory when she does CPR and saves him, and the concern that she shows. Good to see the doctor takes a back seat while this goes on and shows his trust in and her confidence. Yeah, the thing I was a little bit confused about, that you've got a doctor. Why doesn't he do CPR? Anyway, as we see the pirates in space, and we see this pirate in space, will we see this revisited sometime? Who knows? No, I doubt it. And I don't mean this as a pun. So is Amy pregnant or not? That's brought up again, keeping the mystery alive. Next week looks interesting. Green-eyed Ood.
Yeah.
The doctor gets a message box reminding us in War Games when the doctor was last summoned to Gallifrey to face the Time Lords. And there's mention made of another Time Lord being out there, so a lot of excitement still to come.
Yeah.
I must say that I'm really enjoying this series. An interesting point to note, something Kirby mentioned last week too, that when the episodes are shown here, just before the title sequence, there's a montage of shots of Amy in last year's stories with a voiceover by Amy, Karen, in character, relating her story of how she wound up in the TARDIS.
Hmm. I've heard that. I heard that is the case, but I haven't seen this.
That'll be good to see then. As if we're all newcomers to the show and don't know the story. Kirby suggested that the same thing goes on in the US. As I see in the UK transmission, it's very glaring when I compare it to the Australian transmission. I guess it's a concession to newcomers who have arrived late in the series. I just rewatched The Impossible Astronaut again, and when the Doctor is killed, Amy asks if this Doctor is a clone, a duplicate, before the old Canton states, no, it's Doctor. All right. No, he's the Doctor.
And also, right. Moffat stated it is the Doctor. It's not Moffat said that, sorry.
But is it our Doctor, or is it a Doctor from the parallel universe? Who knows?
Yeah. He's actually saying though with this episode.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
But it might be through.
No, it is though. I was misreading it. Though with this episode mentioning an alternate parallel universe, it's possible that this is an alternate universe Doctor for some reason. That's what I just said. Uh-huh. I have heard it mentioned that it could be an aborted timeline, one that never really took place, but Amy remembers. I guess that we'll have to keep watching to find out. Great stuff for now, though. I can't wait for more. Bye for now, Robert. Smiley face.
Thank you, Robert, for being our only feedback contributor this week.
Yeah, come on, guys. Get more feedback in. We like feedback.
Talk about this eye patch lady.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if Amy is psychically linked to somebody else, and that's what she's getting these little glimpses. She's actually seeing images that somebody else has seen, and it's just some reason there's some psychic link that might be apparent later on. I'm hoping it's not, because I don't want it to be one of these things where it was all dreamt or it's not really happened.
No, I think it's going to be a lot to do with alternate universes, parallel universes, different timelines. I did like Robert's theory there about it being an aborted timeline that only Amy remembers. I thought that was very interesting. You might have to do a bit of research into that.
Yeah, okay. No, that's not so bad. Well, there we go. We've managed to do it. Well, I mean, we do the podcast.
The podcast, of course.
And hopefully next week be back on that, because obviously Alicia has not been particularly available for this show because we did do a little segment, but she's very, very busy. She's appearing in a show that begins on Wednesday and runs all the way through to July, and she's they've got to do 9 dances. It's a kids show, touring children come with schools to the Isle of Wight, and they put on a, like a it's like more like a pop concert type thing. They do it like a panto, and they all sing current sort of pop songs, like the cast, and she's one of the chorus dancers in it. And last year she did it. She only did two dances. This year she's got 9 or 10 dances to do, and they do in the height of the summer 2 shows a week. So you can imagine 18 dances on those instances. So this week they're just running up to this show. So she's got rehearsals. She just had all rehearsals last week. Today I've got to take her there for 5 hours of rehearsals. Tomorrow she's got a full dress rehearsal, and then on Wednesday the show starts. So it's hopefully she'll be back to normal as far as being available for podcasting. But
she sounds so busy. She needs a time machine.
Yeah, she could do one of those things in Harry Potter, the time turner, like Hermione had in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But, so that's why we haven't had a lot of Alicia on this particular show. But there we go. Yeah, so hopefully back to normal next week, and we'll have a very enjoyable Doctor's Wife to talk about.
I look forward to it.
So do I. And thank you, Ben.
No, thank you, Adam.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
And hopefully see you again next Monday.
Yeah, speak to you next week, buddy.
Thank you, mate.
Cheers. Bye. Bye, everyone. Bye.
And it's lovely to welcome back to the show, Maddie.
Yeah.
Right then, Maddie. Yeah. And you can probably imagine what we're going to attempt to talk about.
Doctor Who? Maybe, possibly.
Yeah, that was in sort of general terms. There's been 3 new episodes of Doctor Who.
I've watched them all. I was dedicated.
What a good girl. Now, How do you think it's going? So, what did you think of the first 2 episodes? I heard you say
that
it was scary.
Well, no.
No?
Yes. No? sort of. Well, I think they've been more scary than the ones we've had before. Because, mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Dad says that Doctor Who's that are scary are better.
Yes.
Because that's the whole point, really. And if they're not, then they're not really fulfilling the criteria.
Well, don't you think being on at 6 p.m. is not really going to be that scary?
Well, some people get scared by different things, and I'm just a bit of a wimp.
What was particularly scary for you then?
Which one are we talking? The silence. I didn't like them.
Yep. As a large group of children meanders past our way. And then stops. I think I might pause it there. And seeing as they've all left and we can get on. Yeah, so the silence is quite scary. What was particularly creepy about them?
They just didn't talk.
Mm.
They sort of looked at you and...
Didn't you think they were a bit more creepy when they were in the background, out of focus, than they were when they were actually there, you know, in front of you?
Well, they reminded me a bit of you know, that unit one with Martha in and David Tennant. They reminded me a bit of that thing in the tank, the green goo.
Oh, yes, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, the clone thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cloned Martha.
The Sontaran one.
Yeah.
Yes, they remind me a bit of that.
I suppose they were a bit like that. But apparently the Sontarans are coming back in this series, and maybe there is a link.
Not again.
I mean, not again.
They've come back at least 4 times. Do you think they go away?
No, they haven't. They were only in Sontaran Stratagem. They were in Sarah Jane Adventures once, weren't they? And then they were in the Pandorica Opens.
Cog.
Pardon?
He's Cog.
Cog? Oh, yes, Cog. That was the name of the Sontaran, wasn't it?
Yes.
Cog, you're one step ahead of me.
Destroyer, I think. No, so, Cog the Undefeated, see?
Yeah, again, one step ahead of me.
I think. I don't know if it's right, I'm just guessing.
Testing your Doctor Who knowledge. Well, if you're right, you're right. So anyway, right, so... Yes, we've established that obviously not only are the silence quite creepy, the environment that the little girl was being kept in...
Oh, I didn't like that bit. That was the scary bit. That was the scary bit. I didn't like that.
Was
the writing on the wall meant to be in blood?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I presumed it was.
Yeah, I thought it was. And did you see on his wrist it said, "Get out," in blood? On the man,
Yes.
He was a bit disturbing, wasn't he?
For that time of night, I suppose that was a bit strong. But nobody complained about it. So, yes, obviously we had the Doctor dying near the beginning of the first episode.
I really didn't understand. You know that... I really didn't understand the woman in the wall.
Yeah, that's because that you're not supposed to understand it, because
it's one of those Doctor Who things. That,
yeah, and that's one to throw theories out.
And
then,
and it was in the second one as well. Mm.
I think it's supposed to imply that the whole series is a dream. It's Amy's dream, like it was in Amy's Choice. She was dreaming in that. I'm hoping that's not going to actually be the case.
Because that would be a bit pants, really, wouldn't
it? Yes, it would be, yes.
Because then none of it would have actually happened. And the whole thing would have been a completely
What it could be is that in an episode in the future, they've got Amy, and she is dreaming, but she's dreaming about the adventures she's already had, and we're currently seeing those adventures. And occasionally we see this, you know, this face, because we're reliving the adventures she's had in that particular episode. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cool.
But I really didn't understand the bit about the pregnancies.
Well, the TARDIS is confused. She is and she isn't pregnant. That's all I can glean from that.
Maybe she's having twins and one of them is there and one of them isn't.
Or maybe she's just having a silence baby, because obviously once you see it, you forget it. A silence. Well, once you see him, you forget him, don't you? So once
She can't see it anyway.
No. When you actually see a silence, you can only remember it when you see it. So when you look away, you forget it. So maybe the TARDIS is looking at this fetus silent inside Amy.
Why would
and then
be
looking away, so it's positive,
Amy?
Negative. They might have planted, because they had her for a few days, didn't they? They had her in that chair, and she said she'd only been there for a few minutes, and you've been here for a few days.
That's weird, and that's throwing everything that I thought about that episode out of mind, because that is just weird.
But they could have implanted something in her inside her, and it could be a silence or a silent whatever. Because bear in mind that all the silents weren't actually killed during that thing, because there was one in the desert when the Doctor died in present day, so that only a few of them were wiped out.
Yeah.
The fact that the silents were it was genocide, what the Doctor did to make the humans kill them all, when they actually hadn't really done anything bad, had they? They just sort of brought...
Yeah, I thought that was a bit mean.
Manipulated the human race to
I just thought he should have told them to go.
Yeah. They didn't do enough to warrant being wiped out. That's
no,
fair, in my
if
view.
If they'd killed someone, I mean...
But maybe they have. Maybe they do later on, I don't know. It's very confusing. So, what did you make of the, obviously, the end of episode
one.
Two? No, end of episode two.
No,
there was a little girl that was staggered into some alleyway and regenerated. So,
I reckon she might be... I'm not saying this is right, this is what I think.
A lot of people are saying things that might not be right, so yours won't be any worse than everybody else's.
Okay, I think it's the River Song and the Doctor's baby, who is Amy.
Hmm.
And she's part Time Lord, part human.
Yeah.
And she regenerates, but she's lost her Time Lord part because it hasn't been awoken in her yet. And she remains human. And yeah. So
it's an idea that other people have had, but the only problem being that the Doctor's supposed to be able to sense another Time Lord, maybe he has.
Maybe that's because her Time Lord part in her has not been awoken yet.
Well, it's true. I mean, the other side of it could be she could have done a chameleon arch thing, you know, and actually had her Time Lord bits held back that way.
And maybe that's why the science kidnapped her.
Well, I initially thought that when the fact that she regenerated as a child, that she might end up regenerating into the little Amelia Pond we see at the beginning of 11th Hour, because she's quite mysterious, and we don't know how she got into that house.
Yeah, is she meant to have an aunt with her? Because I always thought
she said
was
it was
alone.
She said an aunt. She mentioned an aunt, but she also mentioned her parents. But then, because she had that apple that had the smiley face in, and she said that her mother did that, yet her mother had gone into the crack and been wiped from existence, hence she couldn't really remember her properly, but she had some little sort of memory of her. But
every time you mention that episode, I just have a vision of Matt Smith eating fish fingers and custard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The fact that he liked fish fingers and custard and she was quite happy to eat as well makes it a bit mysterious. And also,
seems to have a connection with her that he didn't
have
with any
to get
any
the
other...
Doctor to trust her, the you know, when they went back into the TARDIS after they, you know, he died and they met the younger Doctor, they went back and he realised something was going on, So to get the doctor to trust her, Amy said fish fingers and custard. So maybe there is something a bit deeper about the fish finger and custard thing, that the fact that, that they both liked it, maybe they is trying to imply that there might be a Time Lord connection somewhere along the line.
Mm. Because Amy grew up without her parents, so maybe River Song and the Doctor are her parents.
It's not definitely wrong. I don't know whether that would be the case.
It's not definitely right either.
No, I don't know. It is a theory that's going around.
River Song and the Doctor are definitely sort of, you know, together, because they kissed, didn't they?
And the next story, I suspect, that will be their full affair, the full love affair. And the one after that will be the one where River Song doesn't know who the Doctor is. So it'll start...
That'd be sad.
Yeah, it'll start turning... And then they'll go back probably a bit further. When the Doctor tells River that he knows all about her, she'll probably be freaked out about that. And that might be the time when around the time that she kills him, or someone kills him, or she kills the person that ends up...
Yeah, because she's afraid of him.
Yeah, so that's probably how that's going to pan out. But... The other theory was that River is Amy's baby. The other one that was going around. I personally think that the little girl has really got no connections with Amy or River. You're meant to think that that's the case. And she's actually... You know, initially I said that she may regenerate and be the Doctor. And then what... there was this thing about these two... There's two Doctors running around. And Stephen Moffat was the writer who, in the comedy episode of Curse of Fatal Death, the Doctor regenerated into Joanna Lumley. Oh, look. What did I tell you? I said that. Saved by the Alicia. Hang on, let's get the... Hello?
Hello, can you pick me up?
Yes, I can.
Huh?
I said, yes, I can.
Can you come and do it then?
Yes, I can. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that rather brings that to an abrupt end. Thank you, Maddie.
Thank you.
Bye.
It's okay. Can I listen to it on the way back? Because I want to see how silly I sound.
What you really want is want to hear how silly I sound. That rather draws to a close this particular episode of the 20 Megabyte Podcast. I know you don't really want to send in any feedback to us, apart from you, Robert. But if you saw fit to do so, it's my birthday this week. Oh dear, that's going to give me more reason not to send feedback in. Nevertheless, on the 12th of May, it's my birthday, which means it's our birthday, because this podcast was born from the birthday presents I got last year. So, to send in your audio stroke email feedback, it's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com, or the word 20, the word meg, the word feedback at hotmail.co.uk, or... You can join our Facebook group, the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, which for some reason isn't allowing me to update, but there you go, we're still there. Or you can add me as a friend on Facebook via 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, or me. And I'm on Twitter, of course, twitter.com/Adam20MBPodcast. All those methods, you can send me messages, and I really, really would love to hear from you, as would everybody else on our little team. And, of course, we have the Doctor's wife to watch next week, and that's what we'll be talking about next week, and I hope you'll join us. Thank you again. See you next week. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
And for the best bit of feedback this week, I think I'll send that person one of these wonderful little character option things, exclusive The Doctor Micro figure. Of course, it won't be in the little plastic package. I'll just send it you as it is. But for the best bit of feedback, you will receive one of these. Cheers.
And we're clear.
Yeah, so I'm just... My oh! Twit. Press the wrong button.